Well, I want to start a series tonight, and I'm entitling it Confidence in Prayer. So let's begin with some prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to go through this tonight, Father. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would direct every word, Lord God, direct our thoughts, O God. Help us to speak, O God, in your word, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I was listening to a minister this week. He used to preach on something called Revival Time, which was a worldwide Assemblies of God radio program. And his name is C.M. Ward. And the title of the sermon, if you ever want to go listen to it, is I Will Arise. And in that sermon, he made a statement that caught my attention. And so this isn't original with me. I got most of this, or I got the points from him, but I wanted to talk tonight because sometimes when we pray, maybe we don't understand what all happens when we pray. You know, prayer is not just throwing up something. Prayer is not a hope-so, maybe-so thing. Prayer is not something that we do because we're Christians and we're supposed to pray. But when you pray in faith, believing, you begin to move things in the spiritual world. There begins to be things that are happening there. And I know this was good for me. I hope it's good for you, because my mind over the last 3 months, whenever I pray, my mind constantly says, how do you know that's doing any good? How do you know that's doing what you say? How do you know that that's going on? How do you know that you're not just speaking words and doing something that you've always done? How do you know? And you know, I've been not thinking about that, but you know, I know it's just my mind. I know where that's all coming from. I got that. But whenever I heard this sermon and I heard him say these words, I latched on to that. Because what I understood as he was speaking is that there are things that begin to move in the heavenlies when we begin to pray. There are things that begin to move in my body when we begin to pray. There are things that give witness into my spirit as we begin to pray. It's not just an exercise. I said it's not just an exercise. It's not just something that I do. But when I begin to pray, heaven and earth begins to move. The Holy Spirit comes into play. And I wanted to go through this over the next several weeks because I want you to understand that whenever we pray, that God is moving. The Spirit of the Lord is coming alive. And there are things that only move as we begin to pray. So let's just begin tonight. C.M. Ward said, what can we know about prayer? Is it just a form, a ritual, a habit, or does something happen when you ask as you did tonight? I suggest that 7 great elements are placed into operation when you begin to pray for a request from God. I will arise and go. I will arise and go in prayer is a statement that shatters hell. When you say, I will arise and I will go in prayer, then hell begins to tremble. Oh, he may stand up strong on the outside, but on the inside he's shaken. Because the devils, James tells me that the devils believe that there's one God, and they tremble when they say it. They know, they understand, and I want to tell you tonight that whenever you begin to pray, there are things that begin to happen. There are forces that come into play. And so let's just go on here tonight. Number one, the first element that goes into force whenever you begin to pray is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present on earth. He is the administrator, listen to this, he is the administrator of Calvary's victory. He makes sure that the victory that was won in Calvary is enforced on this earth. You want to know why the gates of hell will not prevail against a praying church? Because the Holy Spirit's enforcing the victory. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. The battle we have on earth is not barely decided. The things that you go through on earth that are the powers of the devil or the powers of the tribulation that you're in, Those things aren't barely decided. Jesus didn't win by a hair's breadth. He was more than a conqueror. When he said it is finished and that veil split in two, then the victory was won. It wasn't just a neck and neck race, but the devil was totally defeated, as he is still today. Now, I know he's a usurper. I know he comes forward. I know he goes about as a roaring lion. But I want to remind you that he's only as a roaring lion, because the roaring lion position is already taken, and it's taken by Jesus Christ, who defeated him at Calvary, and the Holy Spirit enforces that victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit enforces the victory. He is the administrator of that victory at Calvary. Turn with me to the book of John. Now, we're going to be in John here for a few minutes. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, fourth book in your New Testament. We're going to go to chapter 7 first. The Holy Spirit is present on earth, and he is the administrator of Calvary's victory. Jesus told us plainly, if he went away, the Comforter would come. John 7:37. He said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that of all that he's... Am I in the right... I'm in the wrong chapter. No wonder it sounds funny. Now we're in the right chapter, 7:37. Surely I'm going to get to it sooner or later, but anyway. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him, what's your say? Should receive. Should receive, not optional equipment, not maybe you will or maybe you won't, should receive. Why? For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But when, let me stick to my notes here. I'm getting way ahead. John 16, turn with me to John 16. Should receive. John 16. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I will depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it to you. We should receive the Holy Spirit. Because when we receive the Holy Spirit, then things begin to happen in our prayer life. Things begin to move in our prayer life. Just glance with me, just a quick glance over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, just a quick glance over here before we go back. Romans 8 verse 26 says, likewise the Spirit helps in our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We should receive the Holy Spirit. We should have the power of God working within us, so that whenever we begin to pray, the Holy Spirit comes into action. Jesus went back to the heaven. When he went back to heaven, he sent back the Comforter, and the Holy Spirit now has access into our lives. And when we begin to pray, we can begin to feel and invoke and experience the Holy Spirit as he begins to work to enforce the victory won at Calvary. What victory did he win at Calvary? He defeated all the works of the devil. By his stripes ye are healed. Peter said, by his stripes we were healed. The victory, the power of the covenant that Jesus cut with mankind at Calvary is enforced by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 16, let's look at verse 22. He says, Now ye therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy shall no man take from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, and your joy shall be filled. My goodness. Let's look with me in the book of John chapter 14. One page back. Let's continue this little discussion. John 14, 12. He says, Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. The works that I do, he shall do also. Same spirit. Same spirit. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, do what? That will I do. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. If you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. The power of the Holy Spirit that's invoked whenever we begin to pray is a mighty power that breaks the holds of the devil and breaks up the powers of darkness, that sets the captive free and breaks chains. You know, and I've seen it. I haven't seen it a lot, but I've seen it. I've seen people that have come down and been in. We've had people come in here that were tweaking and high and come down to the altar. They might not have known they were even down here for all I know. But people have gathered around them and begin to pray for them, and I've seen God sober them up. I've seen it out in the marketplace as maybe we begin to pray for somebody and I hear their speech settle down. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, he works whenever we begin to pray. He invokes the power of God. I'm not praying to some idol. I'm praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I've got the Holy Spirit with me that enforces that victory, that puts power behind that prayer, that puts anointing behind that prayer, that causes the devil to tremble and darkness to flee. Number two, the Holy Spirit is active in the accomplishment of the prayer. If you go back to John 16, verse 8, And when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. When we begin to pray, the Holy Spirit begins to invoke. He becomes active in the situation. And the number one element that we have working for us as we begin to pray is the Holy Spirit as he begins to accomplish the will of the Lord. Number three, the Holy Spirit confirms the hearing of the prayers of the saints with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is my favorite. That is my favorite. There's nothing I love more than praying for somebody and feel the confirmation of the Holy Ghost as he floods my soul. Maybe you've never done it, but I'm telling you, I told Bo, I said, Monday night at our minister's meeting, we had a Holy Ghost, slobber slapping, Bible thumping, powerful prayer meeting Monday night. I'm telling you, from the moment we started that thing, the power of God was running back and forth in that place like lightning. It was heaven on earth. We started at 7 o'clock and we finished up about 8:45. And then everybody stayed to eat. You know you've had revival when people stay that late and eat. We didn't leave out until probably close to 10, probably. I don't remember. It was late. But I'm telling you, the power of God, he was in that place. And the next morning, I was sitting over here in the driveway, and I was talking to one of the ministers that was there, and we started talking about it. And I'm telling you, I was forming words, but there wasn't nothing coming out of my mouth because I was just overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit as I sat in that car. And I was talking to him, and all of a sudden the presence of God came in that car. And my goodness, I was trying. I couldn't even talk. And he said, "Hello, hello, hello." I said, "I'm sorry, buddy, but man, the power of God just came in this car, and I'm afraid I got to stop for a minute." That's the confirmation. That's the piece of it that lets you know that there's something going on, that this isn't just something that we do, that this just isn't some kind of religious exercise. But this is something that's invoking the power of God and moving prayers and moving mountains and breaking chains and causing the worlds to come apart as we begin to pray. And it's confirmed back to me by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at the book of Acts. Let's go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. It's just one book over. And let's look at chapter 4. And let's look at verse 23. Hallelujah. This is a long passage, so you can catch up with me. Verse 23, "And being let go, they went into their own company, and the disciples reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said," so they're praying here, "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven, earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. My goodness, I would love to see that happen Sunday morning. I would love to see everybody in this place shaken by the power of God. I would love to see the reverberation of the glory of God as he went back and forth. I don't know if I don't know if you've ever been in a service where the Holy Spirit's just moving back and forth in waves. Have you ever been in a service like that where everybody was up and praising and worshiping, and then it got kind of quiet? And then it started up again just in waves of glory as it went back and forth across the congregation. You know that your prayers are being heard because you have the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. You know that prayers are being acted upon because the Holy Spirit is moving to enforce the victory won at Calvary. So whenever you pray, you're not just praying and hoping that something's going to happen. If you pray in God's will, under his power and under his anointing, you are invoking the power of the Holy Spirit to step into your situation and to change a life and change a heart. And you may not see the results right now, but I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit confirms it to your heart, then he won't quit till it's done. We talk about how persistent the devil is. Let me tell you something. I've got a Holy Ghost that's more persistent and more powerful than he is. As long as I'm praying, he don't quit either. Okay. Number two, the second great element that you have that's placed in operation when you begin to pray. The first one is that the Holy Ghost is present upon the earth. The second is that we have a promise that fervent prayer avails much. So go with me to the book of James, and that's, if you're not sure where that's at, then go back to the back to Revelation, start back toward the front. And you'll come to James. It's not very far back there. You got Jude and 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, and then there's James, and then there's Hebrews. I'm not used to going backwards to front. Then there's Hebrews, and then there's Philemon. So James is in there. We're going to look at James chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 16 through 18. Are you ready? Because I want you to read this whole verse with me. You ready? 5:16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Why are all three of those things in that one verse? Confess your faults, pray for one another, effectual, fervent prayer. Why put all three of those in one verse? Because for your prayer to be effectual and fervent, then you've got to make sure that you've confessed your faults and that you're willing to pray one for another. You can't come down here with anger in your heart and expect God to answer your prayer. You can't come down here holding on to some pet sin that the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you about for 10 years, and you keep holding on to it and expect God to just open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you everything that you need. You confess your faults one to another. Make sure your heart is right. Make sure your mind is right. Make sure you're following after the will of God as best. Now, I'm not saying you got to be picture perfect, but I am saying that if you know that something's wrong, you got to get it right. That's the pattern. And how many times in Assembly of God churches across the country do people come down for prayer when they're mad at somebody? The Bible says if you come down for prayer and you remember that your brother has aught against you, then leave your gift. Go make it right within. Confess your faults one to another. Then come back and offer your gift. So once we get, remember the Holy Spirit of sin, of righteousness, of judgment? And once we get that right, and then we begin to pray with the effectual, fervent prayer of a, righteous. Confess your faults. Pray one for another. Get yourself cleaned up. Get yourself right. Then when you become a righteous man, then the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, fervent is one word in the Greek, and it is, I love this, it is E-N-E-R-G-O, energy, energio, active, energetic, proving oneself strong, to be in action. In James, it seems to denote the inspired prayer wrought by what? In James, it seems to denote the inspired prayer wrought by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Effectual, fervent. Have you ever been praying for something and the Holy Spirit comes in and takes over your prayer, and all of a sudden you're praying, but it's really not you praying. It's your spirit man as he begins to pour out, and you begin to feel the power and the energy and the anointing. And whenever I do it, sometimes I get a little loud. Why? Because that energy is working in me. That power is rolling over me. That spirit is making a difference in my soul. It's moving. It's bubbling. It's rich. It's powerful. Why? Because it's effectual and it's fervent. It's fervent. Hallelujah. Availeth much is the word I-C-H-U-O. It's chuo, I guess. To be effective, capable of producing results, healthy, strong, to have power. So this is an example from the Bible Illustrator. He said, I must be as diligent to use the power of prayer as I use the power of medicine or of nursing. Take it 3 times a day for a week and come back and see me. How many times do we pray whenever we're sick? Maybe once, maybe twice. But to be effectual and fervent, we should be just as diligent to lift up a prayer to God as we are to take that pill, as we are to throw in that capsule, as we are to do the physical therapy, as we are to do the physical things. Then our prayer life should be as effectual and fervent as we are in nursing and in the other things, the medical professions that we do. He goes on to say, I saw a man attempting to split a rock with a sledgehammer. Down came the sledge upon the rock, but the sledge merely rebounded. Nothing seemed to be accomplished. He believed, however, in the power of the sledge. Blow after blow came down apparently in vain, but he kept on without the thought of discouragement. At last, one more blow came, and the work was done. We ought to believe in the power of God just as that man believed in the power of a sledgehammer. I thought that was good. You may pray one time, and it may not seem like anything happened. But as you continue to pound, as you continue to pray, as you continue to press, as you continue to be fervent in what you're doing, and the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, then that mountain will have to move. That sickness will have to move. Things will have to happen as we go to the Lord in prayer, and it's effectual and it's fervent and it's as consistent as it is that we're taking our medication. I thought that was really good. Pounding on a rock with a sledgehammer and having faith in the power of a sledge. So our prayers, effectual, fervent prayers, are number one in faith. They are believing. Go with me to Matthew 21, 22. Matthew 21, 22. In all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. In all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. In faith, believing. Number two, harmony with God's will. John 15, 7. Let's go to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, it shall be done. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done. Number three, let's look at the persistence. Luke chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Am I going too fast? Y'all with me? Luke chapter 11. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lead me three loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey is come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and the children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. And to him that knocketh, if a son ask for bread of you, any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Listen to this. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask. The Holy Spirit to them that ask. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that is persistent as a man beaten on a rock with a sledgehammer. That Holy Spirit gets invoked in that, and he begins to move, and he begins to move the powers of darkness. He begins to break the chains of darkness. He begins to move the powers of evil. Oh, it may not be as fast as we want it to be, but every day that heavenly hammer pounds on that rock, pounds on that rock, pounds on that rock, pounds on that rock. And if we're persistent and we keep with it, then I'm telling you, the rock will fall. The rock will come apart. The cancer will leave. The situations will come to line. There'll be things that happen. You know, instead, I just heard a guy, another sermon I heard, a guy said, you know, instead of getting mad at somebody and getting upset, why don't you go to prayer? Go to prayer. Begin to pray for them. Begin to ask the Lord. He said, and I'll tell you what will happen. They'll get so miserable, they'll have to do something. Why? Because of the power of prayer. Because of the power of prayer. Luke 18. And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that man ought to pray and not to faint. What does that mean? What does that mean, not to faint? I mean, don't give up. Yeah, thank you, Sister Betty. Don't give up. Pray and don't give up. I have a situation in my family which you all know about. My son has had diabetes for 24 years now. 12 years old, he started. He's 36, or he will be this year, right? 37. Oh, 37. So he's already, okay, there you go. Okay, so it'll be 37 in March. And I want to tell you that a lot of mornings when I come in here and I'm praying, one of the things I say is, God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for healing my son. Thank you, God, that by his stripes he's healed. And I bind that spirit that hangs on. I bind the powers of darkness. I bind that thing called diabetes. And in Jesus' name, you're coming out of his body. You're going to get out of my DNA. You're going to get out of my bloodline. You're going to leave this thing because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I have power and I have authority. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my son will be healed, because the day that my son was diagnosed with diabetes, God gave me a promise. God gave me a promise. And I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which he's promised me against that day. And I'm going to be persistent. And now I'm having to be persistent over my own body. God, heal me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, Lord God. I bind spirits of infirmity. I bind spirits that would cause fatigue. I bind spirits that would cause confusion. In the name of Jesus, I will be healed. Persistence, persistence, persistence. You know, I can sit in a room with my wife, and she's over there on the phone or reading or whatever it is she's doing, and I can be sitting in my chair doing whatever it is I'm doing, and everything's cool. But if I start chewing on Fritos, And I eat a mouthful, swallow that. I put a few more in there. I swallow that. And about that third time I'm chomping on those Fritos, you know what she says? Can you turn the TV on or something? That chomping is driving me crazy. You do something in the back of your throat like, blah, 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 blah. I can't stand it. Do something. Turn something on. Now, she didn't do it the first mouthful. She didn't do it the second. But that persistence. Or if I really want to get on her nerves, then I'll wait till we're both in the bathroom and I'll start whistling. And that whistling in that little small room echoing around on those walls, before long she says, stop that whistling. I say, oh, does that bother you? I'm sorry. The persistence. Come on. Look with me at Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge that feared not God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversaries. And this wicked judge would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjudged judge has says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried how long? Day and night unto him, though he bear long with you, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Pressing, pushing, effectual, fervent, powerful prayers, invoking the glory and the power of the Holy Spirit to enforce the victory won at Calvary. I'm telling you, my God, I'm telling you, when you begin to pray, there are things that begin to move. When you begin to pray effectually, fervently, in faith, believing, and you feel the feedback of the power of the Holy Spirit, and He begins to swell within your innermost being, I'm telling you, there's things that happen in the spirit world. And whenever you've won the victory in the spirit world and you keep enforcing it in the physical world, sooner or later, it's going to come through. Sooner or later, it's going to come through. Let me go off script here for just a quick second. Go with me to Revelation 8, just a quick second, because we've got 3 minutes left, and I'm going to talk about what she just said real quick. Revelation 8. Revelation is the last book in your Bible, chapter 8. Verse 3 says, and another, are you there? I want you to see this with me. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it where? Into the earth. And what happened then? There were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. What do you see here? You see prayers that were offered in the past that are up on the altar. Then you see him coming with a golden censer, which are prayers that are being offered now, and those prayers that have been offered in the past that are still burning on that altar, and prayers that are being offered now that are coming together. And when it all comes together and God says it's time to answer, then what does he do? He takes all of those prayers off of that altar, out of that censer, and he throws it into the earth. And what happens when he throws it into the earth? Then things begin to move. Stuff begins to happen. It's the prayers on the altar and the prayers in that censer all together that put forth a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord that begins to get things moving. And whenever the time is there, whenever the censers have all been filled and the aroma of heaven is right, then God casts it into the earth. And then there's lightnings and thunderings and things begin to happen and move and shake. Look, pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. 1 Kings 18, as we end. I got 2 minutes. Here's the example. Now, I know the Holy Spirit's not seen here because it's Old Testament. I got that. But he's still there. He's in this. 1 Kings 18. This is the very familiar story. Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel, calls down fire from heaven. They've been in a drought for 42 months. He tells King Ahab, get your horse and head down from Carmel down to Jezreel, for I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Now, he hears the sound, but now he's got to pray it in. Right? He hears the sound, but now he's got to pray it in. So let's go to 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, get ye up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and told his servant, go now and look toward the sea. And he looked up and said, there is nothing. Persistence. He did it again, said, go look again. He came back, he said, there's nothing. He prayed again. He said, go look again. He came back. He said, there's nothing. He prayed again. He looked again, sent him out again. And he came back and said, what? There's nothing. And he prayed again. And he sent him again. And he came back and he said, there's nothing. And he prayed again. And he sent him again. And he said, there's nothing. And he prayed again. And he sent him again. And he come back and he said, well, there's a little old cloud out there about the size of a man's hand. I don't know. Little old bitty thing out there. And what did Elijah say? And it came to pass the seventh time, he says, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, go up and tell Ahab, prepare your chariot and get you down that the rain doesn't stop you. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds. That little old man's hands now, he'd become black with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins. He picked up his breeches and he ran down before, outran a horse, ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And I'm telling you tonight, persistence, fervent, effectual prayers given under the power of the Holy Spirit will move the hand of God. It'll move your situation. It'll change your perspective. It'll cause other people to be shaken and moved by the power of God Almighty. So when you begin to pray, tonight we went over two of the seven elements that come into play. One of them is the Holy Spirit. And the second one is an effectual, fervent prayer is powerful. It's powerful. So, anybody have any questions or comments? Got five more to go. All right, stand with me. Yes? Oh, okay, stand with me if you would, then. Amen. Hallelujah. If we'll begin to understand that when we pray, God is in the middle of that. I have been, and I'm closing, but I have been praying and asking the Lord. I said, Lord, we see six of the nine gifts of the Spirit that work in most church services. We see six of them. Six of the nine usually work or in operation here almost every week. Not every week, but almost every week. But the three that I'm asking the Lord to release in 2023 are gifts of healings, miracles, and faith. Gifts of healings, miracles, and faith. Amen. And I'm believing, and I'm effectual, and I'm fervent with it. And I know the Holy Spirit's working with me. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit, God. Thank you for effectual, fervent prayers, God, that avail much. Thank you, God, for persistence, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, for the things that you've done in our lives, God. And Father, I pray tonight, God, that our prayer life, oh God, would become stronger than ever before. Lord, that we would believe, oh God, that whatsoever we ask in prayer, believing it shall be done, Lord God. Father, that we would know, oh God, that if we abide in you and your words abide in me, then I can ask what I will and it shall be done. That we would know, Almighty God, that you are the giver of the Holy Spirit that we should have working within our lives, O God. Lord, I pray, God, that over the next weeks, O God, that our prayer lives would become more effectual, more fervent, more in expectation, and more persistent. And God, I give you praise for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.